All right, welcome back. This is Jay Flemma, and you are listening to Jay Flemma Sports Report on the Golf News Net and iHeartRadio. Let's also welcome in the Golf News Net founder, owner, and lead publisher and broadcaster and producer, Ryan Ballingy. Ryan, it's been one heck of a United States Open Championship, and I hope our listeners had as much fun as you and I did watching it.
It's a great week, Jay. Yeah, it was really enjoyable in the end, and I think we got a deserving champion. He played, Wyndham Clark did, some tremendous golf down the stretch. He had his moments of fumbling, I think most people would have expected, but he worked through it, and then when all the pressure was on, hit the light putt of his life.
So why don't you tell all our listeners who might not be familiar with him, who might have been thinking that our a first-time winner might have been a Will Zalatoris, perhaps, or a Mito Pereiro, or somebody who they might have seen in the winner's circle more often, or somebody seen at the top of leaderboards. But Wyndham Clark is more than just a guy who stumbled into the Wells Fargo earlier this year.
Yeah, Wyndham Clark had kind of been, I think, falling off the radar a little bit of some folks. I mean, he came out early in his career and earned his PGA Tour card fairly quickly, all things considered, but kind of got in his own way a lot, particularly mentally, but his game was always strong off the tee and had a great short game, great chipping, putting, great imagination, just kind of couldn't put it together from the tee shot onward until he got the putter in his hand. And this year really has grown tremendously as a player on the approach, has become a much better iron player. And that has shown in his results as a guy that I think a lot of people would like week to week in kind of the niche community that is golf, but they didn't see him as much of a closer. And now that he does have that extra gear with his iron play that helped him out just enough this week to go along with his world-class short game and a fairly reliable power fade. He wound up winning the Wells Fargo in May. And I think that, and he talked about this, was the confidence boost that he needed to believe that he could do something like this, because he knew he could win against a world-class field. He knew he could win against the best players in the world and that he was also one of them. And I think that came all very much through in how he handled himself, particularly the last 36 holes.
Sure, his stat line was fantastic all week. Second in greens in regulation and second in putting for the week. That's an excellent combination anytime you're playing in a major, but especially seems to be the most important two components when playing in a modern day U.S. Open.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you drive it well, and he drove it more than well enough, and you had pretty generous fairways, which certainly was helpful in 18, given how far right he kind of flailed it with the tee shot, but still found the edge of the fairway. If you keep it in play and you hit good iron shots and you give yourself opportunities, and you know you're probably not going to screw it up that badly if you get yourself into trouble, because you've got a reliable short game and a nails mindset for putting, I mean, that's going to win you a whole lot of golf tournaments if you keep doing things like that. And the confidence that he seemed to have playing a brand of golf over the course of the weekend, and particularly on Sunday, that wasn't just trying to hang on. It wasn't about trying to nurse a lead to the clubhouse and win. I mean, ultimately turned into that because that's what happens. But he played like a guy who wasn't backing down, given that LACC played tougher for the most part on Sunday, especially for those final groups, as the reality set in that they were playing for a major championship. And I think that kind of confidence, that kind of total game belief, is incredibly important when you're chasing a major championship like that. You don't want to wait for someone to hand it to you. You want to go out and take it. And he did his best to try to do that and ultimately was successful.
Let's talk a little bit also about Rory McIlroy and Ricky Fowler. Terrific first 3 days for Ricky, and then he just couldn't get started and sank down the leaderboard until it was just too late for him to be a factor.
Yeah, just didn't have it on Sunday. I mean, great for three rounds. I have a feeling that missed putt on the 54th hole of the tournament may have been a little bit bigger of a setback than he might even indicate, but that was a momentum killer in some ways. And he missed one earlier in the third round as well, I think on 16, that would have given him a chance to reach a 12 under par, I think would have gotten him to a 3-shot lead at that point. Might have changed his perspective on things, but just did not have it on Sunday. Shot 75 in the end. Still finished tied for fifth place, which is great for him. Unfortunate that he couldn't get the job done, but also a great week for a guy that was borderline 200th in the world last fall. So he's come a long way in a very short period of time.
And also, it was noted by some in the media center that the whole reason why he got into the tournament in the first place was because a LIV golfer had defected, and that allowed Ricky to take his place. I also have to say I'm a little heartbroken in that the 62s, both of them, will go to waste and not towards a winning effort.
That's also something that tends to happen in tournaments, not just 62s, but low rounds. Whether you're talking about sub-60 rounds on pretty much any major tour, more often than not, the players who shoot record-breaking rounds don't win, which is a really weird phenomenon. But the reality is, and it's cliche, but it's cliche for a reason, it's really hard to follow up a low round, a record round, a sub-60 round, whatever that is, with another one, with enough good play to be able to win the golf tournament. And this is just another one of those examples where two guys shot 62 to open, and I mean, Shoffley practically fell apart one part of Saturday, most of Sunday, and fortunately got to Ricky Fowler on Sunday as well. So it is really hard to do something spectacular that's never been seen before in golf, or rarely has been seen in golf, and finish the job and wind up with the trophy on Sunday.
One of the reasons why I'm especially glad Martin Kaymer was able to close the deal in 2014 at the U.S. Open in Pinehurst, he posted 65-65, 130, and then ultimately did get it to the house with an 8-shot victory. But I do remember an awful lot of fans and an awful lot of journalists saying they were hoping he would spit the bit and come back because they were bored. Similarly, there were a number of people in the media tent who were actually rooting against Wyndham Clark, and not because they were rooting for Rory McIlroy or for Ricky Fowler, but from about the third hole on yesterday, there were a number of fellas that I happened to be sitting next to that kept repeating the same mantra over and over again. Oh, he's gone now. Here it is. He's going to blow it. Oh, okay. Well, wait a minute. Now he's gone. Now they got him. Oh, well, all right. He might have gotten out of that one, but now they got him this time. He's not going to get out of this one. I had to sit and listen to 33 holes of that. And every single time, the guy just, he didn't hit a fluke shot. Okay, he didn't get lucky. He just was gritty. He had a complete game, and he put it all together at the right time.
He really was unflappable. And, I mean, there obviously were a couple of moments where he got himself into trouble, particularly on Sunday. But I'll take it back to the third round on 17, when he took the drop and then managed to get up and down to make bogey. He did this time and time again where he mitigated the damage. And maybe you and I have, but I know I've said this a million times about major championships and the U.S. Open in particular. You don't win majors if you make double bogeys. And the thing that he did extremely well, even when the pressure was on, even when he seemed to be flailing, was that he didn't make double bogeys. If he dropped a shot.
Sure, we saw that on the par five earlier too, as well, when he had a chance to make a really huge number and just kept it to a six.
Right, and he just figured out ways to make pars. He figured out ways to minimize damage. And that's what winning majors in many ways is about. That's what good golf is about, is mitigating the damage. When you're going to make mistakes. When you make mistakes, just don't make a big mistake. Big mistakes add up quicker than small mistakes, and they give you a little bit of breathing room if you make small mistakes. So that's what Wyndham Clark did extremely well, stayed in the moment, stuck with his game plan, knew what he was trying to do on each and every shot,
and did that to the best of his ability, and added up in the end to be one shot better than everyone else, which was good enough to win his first major championship.
You know, and attitude is also an important thing too, especially coming down the crucible of the last few holes of a major. And he had been very even keel throughout the entire week. He even noted that both he and Ricky were playing in twilight yesterday. And whereas you mentioned Ricky may have lost a little bit of momentum with the bogey he made, especially as the putt lipped out, Wyndham said in his interview that he wasn't bothered or fazed by it. He just said he had to brush it off, and that's what he did. He forgot about it, and it was that kind of focus, that laser-sharp clarity that you need to win the Open, and he had it.
Yeah, and I think the 18th hole was on Saturday a big turning point for him. The other way around, as it may have been a turning point for Ricky Fowler the negative way. I mean, the approach shot was clutch. He spun, twirled his club. He knew he had it. He clanged off the flagstick. He knew what that putt meant to get to the final group. Getting in the final group of a major tends to go a long way on a Sunday. And he made that putt. I mean, that he finished what he started from the fairway, which I thought was critically important. I think that was kind of the point in the tournament where people started thinking, okay, maybe we're going to get a Ricky Fowler, Rory McIlroy final group. Here's Scottie Scheffler right here. There's no chance Wyndham Clark wins this thing. And as people probably were mentally writing him off, he didn't give in. He never gave in. And again, it goes back to, I think, being able to prove to yourself that you could do this. Less than a month ago, you proved to yourself you could do this against a world-class field. So you don't need a whole lot of introspection, digging deep to find motivation. You have all the proof that you need, and he stuck by that, didn't lose sight of that. I think that's great.
Dave Flama here. I'm Jay Flama Sports Report on iHeartRadio, which is with the Golf News Net. We've got Ryan Ballingy, our owner, publisher, producer, and chief muckety muck. Tell us a little bit about why was Rory's putter so cold today?
It's always cold. I mean, that's Rory McIlroy in a nutshell. Incredible game off the tee. I mean, just remarkable driving throughout the course of the week. And he had to felt practically invincible with the width of the fairways that he was hitting into over the course of the week. But then the iron play was decent. The wedge play is characteristically awful, and it was throughout much of Sunday. And then, I mean, 14 was just unforgivable. But I mean, the par 5 play was awful on Sunday, and that's why he lost the golf tournament. But the putting went, and someone pointed this out too, and I've noticed this, that when McIlroy tries to play conservatively, he tends to overread break. And so he misses on the high side instead of being aggressive and missing on the low side. And that's just kind of how he works. I mean, everyone's a little bit different when they're aggressive or not. But I noticed that a lot where McIlroy seemed to almost be thinking that he could get this thing to the house and just wait for Wyndham Clark to cave in. And it almost worked. But McIlroy also made enough mistakes that he kind of did to himself. He did to himself what he was hoping what Clark would do. He waited for himself to fail, and then he failed, and then all of a sudden he kind of stiffened up a little bit when Wyndham Clark gave him an opportunity, and he again played okay, but he made too many silly mistakes and Wyndham Clark didn't. And when you're McIlroy and you know what your game is, you know the only thing you can really control extremely well is your driver. You know your wedge game is not very good. You know, your putting is mediocre at best. So you kind of take out of your hands what Wyndham Clark had in his with his short game. That if he knew if he made a mistake, he could get up and down. He knew he could probably make a putt to save par over and over again. He could make just enough birdies to win. McIlroy doesn't have that gear. He's never had it. And so I think when he didn't get off to the best of starts on Sunday, he kind of put himself behind the eight ball and left it all to chance. And eventually someone's going to catch you in that regard.
One last question, Ryan, before we let you go. Tell us a little bit more about what your thoughts were on Los Angeles Country Club's North Course. We will see it again in 2030. But how about after that? Is it possible that it may go the way of Baltusrol or perhaps some of the other courses that started as U.S. Open courses and then switched over to the PGA Championship, like, say, Hazeltine, for example?
We got 2039 for the next time we see LACC North. So 16 years. I mean, golf, I can't imagine what life will be like 16 years from now. I'll be 56 years old. I mean, that's a lot to think about, right? But I thought it did an admirable job after the first round. I know it was the lowest scoring average in the history of the championship. I understand that the bottom third of the field wasn't punished in the same way you might expect at other U.S. Opens. And frankly, I know there's going to be complaining about that because of the nature of how averages work. But I don't really care about the bottom third of the field in a U.S. Open. You didn't play well. You weren't going to win. So I don't really care about you. At the top of the board, yes, you got to minus 10. But that minus 10 number was only two better than the opening 62 mark set by two players, right? Fowler and Shoffley. So from Friday onward, we had a golf tournament. Saturday and Sunday, I thought was very entertaining as a golf course. Once it got firmer and a little bit quicker, the conditions were mint. The architecture was fantastic. I thought the sixth hole was a great short par four. I thought that the long par threes were effectively the drivable par fours. They just put three as the par on the card. I thought that was really nice. I really liked what I saw. Would I like to see some things pinched in a little bit the next time they do this 16 years from now? Yes, but I also think we'll be playing with rolled back equipment to some degree by then. So maybe that'll do some of the work for us as well. So, I thought the USGA put on a very good championship. I know everyone likes to rake them over the coals because they do this once a year for the US Open. But I thought they did a pretty good job with what they had in hand and what the weather conditions presented to them. And we got a very interesting championship in the end. I mean, think about who was on the leaderboard. Other than Clark, you had McIlroy, Cam Smith, Xander Schauffele, a very popular player, Ricky Fowler. You had the world number one, Scottie Scheffler. Brooks Koepka wasn't that far off. Victor Hovland, who's been in the last three majors, had a good week. Colin Morikawa had a very nice week. I mean, we're talking about star name players here. So from that perspective, it did its job.
And so did the USGA. It was a fascinating golf course. Los Angeles showed us its very best side for the most part. There was a little June gloom early on. But it was terrific fun and without question a worthy champion. Folks, we'll be back in a little bit with more Jay Flemma Sports Report. Ryan, thank you for joining us. You're listening to Golf News Net on iHeartRadio.